My name is Deandra Poe, and I am the founder of Glass Soldier, a duty-bound and data-driven nonprofit dedicated to the elimination of sexual assault in the U.S. Armed Forces. In this podcast, we will explore the pervasive culture of military sexual trauma and how we, as a collective, can change it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Duty Bound. We are in episode 4. So again, for those of you taking notes, just kidding. For those of you new to the channel, welcome. For those who have been following me and have listened to previous episodes, thanks for coming back. Appreciate it. So today I'm going to be talking about the hashtag MeToo and the hashtag MeToo military movement. And I just want to highlight why, in my opinion, these two movements are different. While we operate in the same space of wanting to end sexual violence, just in general in our society, because remember, the military is just a microcosm of our larger society and a group of individuals that have come from everywhere, it's still prevalent regardless of where it is in our society in general and in our military. And the reason why it's, while it seems for those who are in the service so vastly different, is because 1% of people serve. And when you think about our society in large, it's a small community. Regardless of how many thousands of soldiers that serve in all these different branches, the community can be small within the individual branches, the transportation corps, you know, field artillery, infantry. You've been in long enough, you know certain people, you know leadership, who's good, who's bad, reputations, rumors follow behavior. So I just want to kind of quickly just highlight for me why it's so different. And I want people that are not in the military, who've never served, to really understand the difference and why we can't lump these two together. So first things first, you know, again, why these two movements are so different. I think after last year, 2020, what a blankety blank year. I'm just gonna say blankety blank. Anyway, that summer, you know, there was just so much going on. I don't think that anyone had an opportunity to breathe. I think every month people were just like peeking out their window, like, you know, what part of Revelations are we going to see today? Like murder hornets and just murder, period, the word. The pandemic killed everything, literally and figuratively. It just, 2020 was just trying to take us all out. So with that being said, with that young lady at Fort Hood, Vanessa Gillian, and the highlight reel that became her murder kind of set the precedence, even though, just like with Me Too, was already a thing before celebrities got involved, Me Too military moment was also a thing already. And this young lady's unfortunate, unnecessary death brought more attention to it. But recovery for soldiers looks a little different for our civilian counterparts. So I want to highlight some of those differences. So when we talk about what's the difference between a civilian and a military member, well, for one, military members, service members have laws that are only applicable to them. Like, these are things that only service members can be kicked out of the military or even, you know, fined or thrown in jail for. I won't say fined because those are more like movement violations. But in essence, you can still get in trouble and be put out of the military because of these things. Things like political expression. So, you know, everyone has their right to freedom of speech. However, in the military, we are limited, especially officers, to political expression. And I'm sure if you have been on any part of social media lately with what was being said around military women serving in the military, you understand the fight that's been going on and why leaders tend to stay away from political fray. Again, in my opinion, that wasn't political. It was literally stating facts that women have contributed a lot to the service of this country, including giving their lives and making the ultimate sacrifice for the sake of the First Amendment right. So that's one thing. Fraternization, which is basically like officers cannot have relationships with enlisted service members. Again, it's one of those rules that's written, unwritten, depends on who sees it, depends on if it's within your unit, depends on the age difference. Sometimes it just depends on who your chain of command is, whether you continue to get away with it or not, or if it's going to be escalated to the point that you'll get in trouble. That doesn't happen at work. You might get some side stares if you start dating the boss type of thing, but it doesn't lead to your termination unless things go sour. So that's one of those things where I know people have said all the time, you don't go where you lay down at. So essentially, don't do your mess in your own house. And that's all I'm gonna leave that there. But on to the more serious things that are applicable to soldiers in terms of laws and the difference, going AWOL. In the civilian world, you can quit your job. Your boss inappropriately touches you. You can file a complaint. You can quit your job. You can move on. You can go get another job. In the military, you can't just walk away. It's not that easy. Yeah, you can leave, but you can't just be like, I'm done. I'm never coming into work. Doesn't work that way. Being overweight. That's not a thing in the civilian world where you'll lose your job unless it interrupts productivity or it becomes an issue with, seating or something like that. But typically you would have a conversation with someone at work in this situation. In the military, you can be put out if you fail height and weight. It is a thing. And then the last thing, family care plan. So a single mom would have a harder time with childcare and being put out of the military because of not having a family care plan. Yes, in the civilian side, especially for women, it becomes an issue if childcare is an issue, if you're constantly having to call out of work and so forth and so on. And again, I'm just making the comparison that for military members, these are things that are looked at as stains on their record. Doesn't necessarily mean that on a civilian side that it's easier being a single parent at all. But the requirements for a soldier to have all this stuff set in place when you move around a lot and you're nowhere near your family, you're born and raised in one state and you've got to go to another one and establish a family care plan. It's a little bit different when you have roots somewhere, your hometown, your neighbor knows who you are. I was a latchkey kid. I know there are people out in my audience that have been latchkey children whose parents were not there when they came home. That's an issue in the military. That can get you in a lot of trouble, especially if your neighbors don't know you. Now, in general, I was fortunate and had the most amazing people around me as a mother and even as a wife, that on military bases, we look out for each other. It was a different time then. Military bases were run by the Department of Defense. Now they're outsourced and they're run by civilians, contractors. So there are civilians that live on post now and most bases are open. So again, not to say that civilians are bad, it's a different mindset. When you live on post, you do look out for each other. You understand, hey, such and such husband's deployed. She has to go to work. We're going to help her out. So the mindset is a little bit different. And so that space where laws are different for military personnel versus civilians is one way that this movement is different. Again, for civilians, job loss, getting another job. Then there's the honorable and dishonorable discharge, or other than honorable discharge. A soldier has been sexually assaulted, and they have to now try to navigate their mental health, or hiding it because of retaliation and fear. It brings on a lot of other issues. We all know, I don't say we all know, but those that are in the mental health field know that people internalize trauma differently. Sometimes it comes out in the form of addiction. Sometimes it comes out as suicidal thoughts. Sometimes it comes out as behavioral issues. You have a soldier who was a stellar soldier for a while, and then you notice suddenly that they're, you know, combative, defiant, like just don't want to listen to authority or seniority. And you don't have the tools to process what's going on, let alone them, because you have no idea what's going on. So now you've got a pattern of behavior that I need to get rid of this soldier and put them out. Dishonorable discharge, conduct unbecoming. They're not going anywhere. They're too afraid or don't have the ability to ask for help until they're out. So now they have a dishonorable discharge. And this is where the rubber meets the road for soldiers. Because I've been put out for bad behavior, misconduct, or mental health, and I now have no accesses. I've served my country. I've laid my life on the line for this country. And now I don't have access to the services I need in order to process this trauma that I'm dealing with, that I have not even been able to vocalize or say. So the mental health needs and the access to that can be very different for service members than it is on the civilian side. Again, I'm not at all saying that the VA system is the only system, because statistically, studies and research have shown that some service members would rather pay out of pocket to get health care and go to a civilian doctor than to deal with the VA health system. That's a whole nother episode when we try to break down the differences in the healthcare system. But let's go back really quickly to the social media. Social media has the ability for things to go viral. And that word in itself, you know, we think of viral, virus, you know, especially now, we don't exactly think of very good things. Sometimes when things go viral, it's horrible, bad, especially if someone's name is behind a hashtag. It's never a good thing. And then there's the advocacy part of viral, meaning good. This amazing singer, this talented dancer suddenly has gone viral and doors have opened up for them. In the world of advocacy, we would love for things to go viral and the people get behind this, because we don't want something to just be a moment. We really want it to be a movement. And I'll get to that word later. But what does it mean for activism and advocates in the social media world right now? The hashtag MeToo movement has taken off and propelled, you know, the conversation around sexual assault, sexual violence towards everyone. So we're including men, women, LGBTQ. But for hashtag MeToo military, in my opinion, I don't believe that it's gotten its viral moment, despite the fact that this young lady lost her life and all eyes are on Fort Hood. And right now, I don't believe that anybody's really paying attention right now to Fort Hood, despite the report coming out. There's still people operating in the space that are doing amazing things at grassroots. But nationally, it hasn't gotten and taken off the way that I feel that it should. Again, my personal opinion, and I keep saying that because this is my opinion, and I know there are some people that'll agree with me and others who won't. That's fine. I think it's important when people start sharing, liking, and following a movement to not just do that. It's great. We all know that in order for you to be monetized on social media now, you have to have a certain amount of followers. Even celebrities are like super excited. I hit 1 million followers, 10,000 followers. But for the average advocate, you'd be like, I got 1,000 followers and I'm super excited. That's like a big deal. But it can't just be liking and sharing. That's all great, especially for the right person to make this go viral and speak about it. But back to that word movement and not a moment. Movement is the propelling. It's forward. It's an action. So it can't just be the moment. It has to be movement and efforts to consistently keep going after this and not just talk, not just share my page, not just like it, not just follow me, but the volunteer work, the grassroots efforts, the constant phone calls. We've seen how those things really, really, really work. We've seen it with the Voting Rights Act. We've seen it with even police reform, just reform period. Social justice reform comes when people get involved. Social media is a great tool, but it can also be just a tool. And in the hands of the right person, it can work. So I always like to tell a story to kind of go along with it. Towards the end, and I'll be skipping around because things are just applicable at appropriate times. Towards the end of me getting out, the retaliation that I was facing, and I'm gonna call it for what it is, the retaliation that I was facing. Mind you, I've already gone to trial. I've already gotten justice. But the idea of me being vocal about the continuing injustices of things that were going on became very apparent to my leadership, and they did not like it. So when I became more vocal, the retaliation started. I attempted to go to DOD IG and I started an investigation because I documented things. And they were willing to have these things on paper as well. Some of my leadership were that bold enough to put on paper how they felt, even got in trouble for vocalizing it in front of other senior leaders. That did not work out well for me. Every time something goes up doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work in the favor of the survivor. Even as an officer, even with senior leaders, even with proof that the behavior was retaliatory in nature, it still came back unfounded. It blew my mind. It made me that much more upset. And proof positive to me, proof positive that the system is not designed for action. It was the inactions of leaders way above mine, the inaction that set the tone for what we talked about last week, the permissive environment for sexual assault, because that right there was permissive to continue to retaliate. Never mind, I had already received justice, but the retaliation. So statistically, more than half of survivors that come forward wind up leaving the military within 7 months. I think I came forward about February, March, April. I was out by November. And when I say came forward, I meant in terms of the retaliation and things that were going on. I was 2 years removed from my trial, ready to go on and do better things. But the retaliation got so bad. And from that time going forward, I wind up leaving. I sometimes hate that the fact that I'm a statistic, that I'm counted in those 1 of 4. But it is what it is. So in the military, service members have the ability to go to their congressmen. I didn't know that. So back in 2009, is that when Facebook started? Let's say 2009. I was still older. I came from the MySpace era where you could put music to your page and people logged in. They could hear a radio station or something crazy. Either way, back then, Facebook was literally just people talking about their dinner that they had, you know, updating people, just the play-by-play of what was going on. There was no share button. There, you know, wasn't, you know, there was a like, but that was it. We have so many emojis now because we're constantly evolving. But social media wasn't used like that when I was in. So I had no idea that I could have gotten my congressman involved. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because, again, the congressional are for issues that soldiers feel like are especially egregious in nature about your chain of command not handling situations properly. But they're still frowned upon, especially if you have the type of command that has an environment permissive for this type of retaliation and toxicity to happen. So it's an option for soldiers. It's their right, and they're allowed to exercise these rights. But it's one of those unwritten rules, kind of like fraternization. It really does depend on who is being told on and why. So you have these rights to do this, to help you advocate for yourself, help to right some wrongs. Whew. And I've seen it used. I was not able to pull that trigger, but I have seen it used and I have seen it work out. But remember what I said earlier, the military community is small. Sometimes your reputation supersedes you before you get anywhere. And it just depends on who your leadership was and the relationship you had with them upon leaving. And it shouldn't be that way. Everyone should be able to form their own opinion about someone. And I hear leaders talk about that all the time. Like, don't allow you to have your own relationship with that soldier or that junior leader or that leader, and you form your own opinion. But if you've got somebody whispered in your ear or giving you a courtesy call, like, hey, you've got somebody coming your way, and they're dropping little hints, they're putting little bugs in your ear, it's too late for that. It's almost like you're now looking for that, regardless of what that person said to you on the phone about this soldier coming forward or this leader coming forward. You now have a marker to look for. And it can hurt if they really don't understand the relationship and why. Was it connected to you coming forward about your assault? Did you accuse somebody that they knew? Did you accuse another soldier? Were they involved in it? So the relationship, that what I'm trying to get to is, soldiers should never fear advocating for themselves if it's their right. If they feel like they've been wronged, they should not be able to. And now they have social media. The young lady who has been on TikTok and came forward about what happened to her. Many, 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 many people reached out to her. And some soldiers have that option. And I think those are the things that go viral and can help. While I'm sure her leadership and the phone calls that they've probably had with senior leaders and other people that have gotten involved was not a very good conversation. For me, I'm more concerned that this young lady got the help that she needed and can be moved to an environment where she still can serve. It's still possible, but it doesn't come without action. It shouldn't have been permitted. The retaliation should definitely not be there. She should be free to serve without thinking that because I cried out for help, I now have a target on my back. That's like my bottom line up front. So the power of social media, so many things like prior to 2016, were able to slide under the social justice rug when it came to sexual assault, just period. I think the DOD has been working on this problem for years, many, many years, more than a decade. And the inaction, the lack of attention, the lack of movement is still not there. What is it going to take? We know that men and women are being brutalized in uniform by other service members who raised their right hand and swore to defend this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And it's the people that are right there next to you with their hand raised that are is the enemy behind the lines. So I leave you all with, you know, my nugget of little bit of wisdom from my own little foxhole. And I've said this in other episodes, not just advocating for yourself, but document everything. I cannot express that enough, that documentation. Sorry about that. Somebody's calling me. I can't express that enough, that documentation is extremely important, even if it's a memorandum for record. And soldiers know that as well, what a memorandum for record is. Even if you just have to go on record and send that memorandum for record forward saying, this incident between you and I happened on this day and at this time, and I'm just acknowledging that it happened. It's a memorandum for record. That person doesn't have to acknowledge that it happened, but you have a record, a memory of what happened. Advocate for yourself. Document as much as you can. And I am doing my best. Duty bound, glass soldier, we are doing our best to develop exactly what soldiers need to be able to do that. But we're going to need you guys' help. You're going to have to glue to glass soldier. We need volunteers. It's probably the first time that I'm ever plugging glass soldier. But that at the end of the day, we're driven by the data. And the data says that soldiers still need us. Soldiers still are seeking justice. Retaliation is still a thing. The environment is still permissive for this to keep happening at all levels. Don't think that I'm just coming after leaders, but understanding that officers, leaders, senior NCOs set the tone for the environment. And if the Department of the Army is going to push for not in my army, not in my ranks, not in my formation, then it definitely needs to be handled at that level. Not today, it's not going to happen, but can happen tomorrow. Or not with this soldier, but it can happen with this one. Every person, it needs to be handled. And I really hope that somebody out there is listening and will start to not only advocate for themselves, but to document everything. Reach out to services that can help. Tell somebody about this podcast. Again, you never know. What one person hears, another person might hear something different. Perspective is reality. I appreciate you guys all, and I will see you next week, episode 5.